Genesis 21, verse 8. So the child grew and was weaned. Say, the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw Ishmael, the son of Hagar, that New Testament says Agar, the Egyptian whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing Isaac, her son. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son, Ishmael. But God said, before we get started here, I want you to know that this is what Robert said. That the message you can hear today, I didn't get off the internet. This is God's word to you. This is God's word to you. God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Did you hear that? He had two women. He had to get rid of one of them. They were both mothers. I know if you look at that in the natural, you're going to wonder what I'm going on about and what God's saying to you. But it says, whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her, for in Isaac shall your seed be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman, because he is your seed. We will be looking again later on in Galatians chapter 4, but for now I'd like to just stop here and point out to us that what we have here is two mothers. Pay close attention, because we're talking about mothers on Mother's Day. It's like these little towns that you drive through, and they're just so small, if you're not really paying attention, you won't see it. There are two kinds of mothers, and God has a word for mothers here today. There are mothers that are going to produce Ishmaels, and there are mothers that are going to produce Isaacs. Now, if you are thinking in the natural and you are talking about your natural children, you're not going to understand what God is saying. God speaks in spiritual terms. The Lord had something to say about both of them. It wounded Abraham because he thought that his child wouldn't make anything in this world. And God said both of them will make nations. They'll be two separate nations. They won't even be alike. One won't be like the other. They'll be totally separate. The woman in the scripture speaks of the church as well. I believe that there is a challenge of God for us to raise up unto the Lord either Ishmaels or Isaac, and at some point they must be separated. That is why those that are raised up Ishmaels can't stand to be in the environment where Isaacs are. They will be there scoffing. And have you ever noticed that in a place where even God is moving and when there's reality, there'll be young people, because these were young people. They were in their early teens. And some people feel that they were even younger than this, because even as little children. But one of them was old enough to know better. He was scoffing the other child. And I have many times seen in my life those that scoff at the move of God and see the Spirit moving. They're back there giggling, laughing, carrying on and pointing fingers and making fun of everything that's going on. But there comes a time where they have to be removed from the presence of the Lord. And they are removed from the areas where God is really moving and from the realm of reality. And they go into another camp. God said, I'm going to make them another nation. So hence, I'd like to bring out today that the mothers represent two different churches, and there's only two in the world. There's the religious church, comprised of all types of religion in the world, and we could mention all of them, but why mention their gods? We know what that is. It's religious structure, it's bondage, it's old legalism, it's heavy law, it's putting people under oppression, it's just making people come, listen to something dead, but it permeates the spirit of death. Ishmael is the father of all the Arabs and all the Islamic nations and gods, and today God said they become a great nation. And so we have two camps here, birthed by women. The importance that God gives, he said that one of them came from Egypt, the land of bondage, and everything she produces from herself, her offspring, are children of bondage. They're children that break down when God begins to really move, when the true thing comes. When the true religion comes, they cannot handle it. They don't want it. They want their darkness. They want where they are. But then on the other hand, there's people trapped in those nations that are children of Isaac. They are the true children. They are the ones that although their mother gave them birth, they were raised up to something different. God wants to challenge us to raise our kids to know true religion, to know the true reality of God. God brought reality into this world, and religion is the counterpart of that. Both came out of the same roots. Both came out of the same family members. Both came out of human beings. You know, out of human being comes everything. Two people will be sitting together, and one is just religious, and that's all they want is just religion. And then other people have a hunger for reality, a hunger for God, and when offered the true thing, want the true thing. They want their bondages taken off. They want to be children of freedom. They want to be children of life. They want to be children of joy, because Isaac represents joy. Isaac was a God thing. It was a God birth thing. It wasn't a man-made thing. It was a God-made thing through man. God used man, because Abraham and Agar, or Abraham and Sarah, is the same thing. It's just man. But there is an origin in one that came from God. He said he is a spiritual seed. He is a God thing. I put that thing together, because in the natural it was impossible. So the real thing always works in an impossible situation. The real thing of God always works in impossible situations. That's why God calls out of the world the misfits, the no goods, the trash, to recycle, because God says what was impossible to man is what forms the true religion of God. And they are the ones that walk in freedom, because they have been made free by the Son of God. They are the ones that have been raised up and in the natural could not have existed, could not have been, could never have been a child of God. It was an act of God. He put it together. He made it happen. He promised it before it would happen. And he preached the word of truth into them, and out of their darkness was born light, and out of the trash came the recycled treasure. Two mothers, two churches in the world. One is religion. You hear the same sermon, same message, perhaps the same hymn song, perhaps the same environment, except with alterations. One will have a steeple, some will be bigger, some will be smaller, but they all have chairs. They all have to shut up and listen to one guy talk. They're all pretty well the same. One is devoid of life. We are children of joy. We have an inheritance. I don't get me started there, because that's another part of my message. But God has a word for mothers. You represent the church, the true church. Raise your kids to love the truth. Raise your kids to know God. But more than that, you are going to discover that if you are a true Christian, your children can't possibly be born into this world from trash and be treasures. Oh, I said something nobody understood here. Let me say it again, because I don't think you got it. If God brought you into true reality, if God birthed you into light, it's because you were trash and God converted you and recycled you into a treasure. You can say amen right there. I know some of you just blush to think that maybe at some time you're trash. Listen, we're still trash being recycled. Every day of our life, God's recycling some other trash in our life. Hey, but we're on our way to recyclement. And he said, whatever gets left that got undone, when you see him, you'll become like him in a twinkling of an eye. He just does all the rest of it suddenly. So you have nothing to worry about. You can delay God. You can leave heel marks in the ground as he drags you down the line, but you're going to make it, all right? Now, let's get something straight here, and that's what I said a little moment ago, and I'm going to say it a little bit so you can understand it. When you started, you were trash. We really are always trash, but we're recycled by the grace of God, and we have a religion of freedom where God doesn't look and frown down on us because we're trash. Hey, hello, that's where we were when he picked on us. Hey, so it's not that God's going to come around and say, oh, my me, you are trash. No, God went looking for trash and found you and found me. And then when God wants to make ministers, he makes sure he finds the basest of the trash. And those he puts his anointing on. I heard an amen over there. God doesn't want to us to focus on that. He wants us to focus on God, because Isaac wasn't possible without God. Abraham tried for 120 years. It wasn't possible. What was possible? Because Sarah's womb was dead. And God said, more shall be the children of the womb that's dead than the womb that's alive. Because we have no power to produce real children of God. And so what happens is that true Christians sometimes can't stand the fact that your kid turned out to be an oops. All your kids are oops. But the same God that chose you has also chosen them, because they are the offspring of the chosen of God. They are the ones that God's looking for in the next generation to recycle like He recycled our generation. All the rest of them belong to Hagar. Yeah, Abraham had something to do with it, but it was all in the flesh. It's the world of flesh. The churches look the same, but there's a spirit of death. There's a spirit of oppression. There's a spirit of you come and just do your religious thing, and that's all we care about you. As long as you give your offering and your tithe, everything's honky-dory. Well, listen, I have news for you. We were born free. We were born not of the bondwoman, but of the free one. We were given life by the Holy Spirit. He ignited that flame. He was the one that started this thing, and He's going to be the one that finishes it. And if there's been improvement on your life till now, that's the way it's going to be till you die. And when you wake up and look at Him, you're going to see yourself the same as Him. Because in a twinkling of an eye, like I said, He's going to finish what's left. No praise for us. But why does this shock us? Oh God, how come I've been made into such a wonderful Christian, and here I've got nothing but trash? Now, you'll never say that because your kid's sitting beside you looking up to see whether you're saying amen or not. And please remember that when we use the word trash, we don't really mean trash, but we know what we mean when we use the word trash. Because trash is just recycled leftovers. But you see, what man casts off, God picks up. Some of these kids, they were born into this world because they really wanted to abort them, but, you know, they were convinced otherwise and then dumped them. And somebody else picked them up, and they have problems for lives. Those are the ones God goes through all the world seeking for, the cast-off ones, the ones that couldn't have happened if God didn't intervene for them to happen. Those are the ones that happened because God wanted them to happen. One of the greatest people that God uses in visions and anointings is my adopted sister Annie, born out of wedlock, born in sin and everything else. One of the greatest children and beautiful, beautiful pastors in the world, have a large church, and God's greatly using them. She was born out of a relationship in prison, a forced relationship in prison. God goes around, when He looks for trash, He finds it, and He makes something beautiful out of it. Because, see, that's where He's magnified, that's where He's glorified. And so, there's two mothers, there's two representative of churches in the world. We will be in one, but maybe not too long. And if you're in one, God wants to set you free. God wants to set you totally free. And when you look at these children and you give up the ghost because they turned out like you, really, that's the honest truth, then have the same hope God had for you, because when their generation time comes, God's going to raise them up and make something out of them. So don't look at the time that they're in the trash bag or being cast in one. Don't you throw them in one, because God's got to see the trash. Leave them out of the bag, all right? Amen? And I'm talking to some mothers now that are having problems with your young people. And God's speaking to you. He's saying, don't bag them up because God's looking for trash. Just leave them out there where God can see them. And many times they are more apt to go into a religious environment, but they don't belong in a religious environment. Some of us, God found us in a religious environment. It's just that you weren't to be one of them. And God brought you out and set you free. And now there's something different for you. I just want us to come into such a spirit of liberty that even when you look at what isn't, you see what is. And when you look at what's still missing, you have the faith to know that God will change it. And you know that God started this whole thing, so He's going to finish it. This is a God thing with you. It is not a bondage thing with you. You're the child of the free. I want to go back to the verse that we read today and bring out something else before we go to Ephesians here. It says here in verse 10, cast out the bondwoman and her son. That means that the church and their offspring of religious people cannot co-inhabit any longer. There's going to come a time where God draws the line. Do you know, even in churches of reality and of God moving and the Spirit of God moving, how many of you have noticed that people just get up, leave, and they'll never come back again? There comes a time when God orders Abrahams, which are the head of the house, the pastors, the ministry, to do things that separate, that bring division. Because God says one will not inherit with the other. They're going to be two separate camps. Either the religious are going to go out from the righteous and join the land of the religious, but the righteous that are caught in the religious traps, when God calls them, they come out. It's like one day you hear about God moving, your heart's been hungry for that, you don't even know why, like in the charismatic move with the move of the Holy Spirit, and you're seeing all these people bubbling over with joy that just received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you've been sitting in this church empty and dead and hungry for years now, you just didn't know where else to go, and they invite you to go, it's like, yes. And you go, and from the first day you were there, said, yeah, this is for me. And God began to set you free, filled you with the Holy Spirit, brought you out of that camp. You know what God was doing? He was following the orders He gave Abraham. Cast out. They can't inherit together. You cannot inherit the other. God has two inheritances. One is the inheritance of Ishmael, because Abraham would not let it go unless God would give him the inheritance. And God says, okay, he won't have your inheritance, but I'll give him one. He'll have his own. He'll have his own over here. I'll make him a great nation. They'll be a great people. You notice that God's people are great, but not in number. He said that they were fewer than the other nations. He said that they were small, didn't he? God said that his people were small in number. But of Ishmael, he said they were be a great nation. And yes, they are. There's more Muslims in the world than of any other religion combined, other than the Buddhists and others. And I don't want to mention the gods of other religions. But all I'm saying is that combine those guys out there, all of them, that are extracted out of Ishmael, and belong to that inheritance and are in that inheritance and locked in that inheritance, are the majority of the inhabitants of this earth. Would to God we could invade those camps and bring life and start bringing some of the people out of them that don't belong there. They're there but don't belong there. So don't ever criticize people that are there, because they might not. You say, well, all the Muslims, all the Muslims. Do you know that Jesus Christ is visiting personally the Muslims and setting them free? Do you know that they're being converted by the hundreds and thousands right now? The hundred thousands at a time are being converted in the Muslim lands, because God knows those are His. They're over there but don't belong to that. They've been in that religious structure but don't belong to it. God wants you to see two inheritances here. One is an inheritance of religiousness and bondage and heaviness and death when you come into the meetings. I mean, these people bow four times but they feel nothing. They live nothing. There's no God there. There's no nothing there. They can kill and destroy people. They're people of violence. This is their religion. How would you like that for a religion? God says, mine cannot possibly be together. You're going to have to separate them, because I have an inheritance for the one I'm birthing. And God's inheritance is an inheritance of freedom. Do you know we've been given a spirit of freedom? If there's one thing, I'd like to talk for just a few minutes about inheritance, if I could, because our inheritance is an inheritance of godliness. Our inheritance is an inheritance filled with the Holy Spirit of God that's here for us to heal us, to set us free like today, to break away all bondage, because our inheritance includes no bondage whatsoever, because we are not born of the bondwoman, we are born of the free. God's children are free. Paul heralded that we belong to a camp of liberty and freedom, and we are not going back to that land of bondage, that land of legalism, that land of heaviness, that land of law and regulations and rule. We belong to a land of freedom, and there's an excitement when we come to church. There's a spirit of celebration when we come, because we're lighthearted, we're free, and whenever that other thing comes in here, it's like, what's that? That's not our inheritance. God has told us this last week. I want you to go in and possess your inheritance. I want to tell you today that our inheritance is the inheritance of Isaac, which was named for his freedom, his laughter, his joy, and for the atmosphere of God on earth and heaven on earth, spirit of love and not hate, a spirit of unity and not divisiveness, a spirit of joy and not sadness, a spirit of liberty and freedom for all. That is our inheritance. God says, possess your inheritance. We have to fight for our inheritance. God might give it to us, but we have to fight for it. Do you know that when the inheritance was finally given to Isaac, everywhere he'd go and open up a well, the Philistines would come and plug him up, and he had to go somewhere else and do it until finally he found a well and no one contested it. He dropped it in, and from that day forth, it became the well that people thousands of years later referred to as the well of Jacob, the one that always had life in it. They always could go and get the water of life. There are wells. Contest for your well. Fight for your inheritance. Because God says one won't inherit with the other. Which inheritance is ours? Is ours the inheritance to come in church heavy-hearted and just have a service where you hear a sermon, take an offering from you, and God sends you back home? Or do we belong in the camp of the inheritance of those that when they come, if they have any bondage at all, God's waiting for you to set you free, because that's your inheritance. And when there's a spirit of death in the place and a spirit of death in the camp, we start marching as Christians like we did that night in song and praise and get rid of that spirit of death and walk in the spirit of life, because that's our inheritance. Isaac was given life from God and inherited from God, and he belongs to the camp of freedom, of joy and laughter, because that's his name. There should be a constant excitement in our heart. There should be a constant joy, uplifting, a spirit of celebration. And if not, my friend, the spirits, not the camp, the spirits from that other camp are working on you. And you can allow them to turn you into another camp member for a few days, but just remember, you cannot inherit both. You have one inheritance, and God has given you an inheritance. It's the inheritance of open heavens. It's the inheritance of revival. It's the inheritance of godly cleansing. It's the inheritance of being filled with the Holy Spirit and transformed by His power, not by our works. It's a camp and freedom of love and acceptance where we love you and accept you when you're not doing so good or when you're doing good. Because really, if any day you complain about anybody because they're not doing so good, just remember, the trash has to be recycled. It doesn't recycle itself. It has to be taken to a processing plant, i.e., sometimes it gets put in a kiln and heated up until you can't stand the heat and the fire and the pressure anymore. And up comes all that debris and impurity at the top. And they just scoop it off and throw it away. More trash gone. Praise you, Jesus. Then he chills it out and cools it off and lets you be normal again. It is the work of God. Your inheritance is that God is working for you. Your inheritance is that God has never left you, nor will He leave you. And when you are oppressed, and when the spirit of that other camp tries to come over and grab and nab onto you, you can shake yourself like this morning, and you can be set free. It's like, that doesn't belong to me. That's not my inheritance. I'm going to possess my inheritance. My inheritance, like I said, is open heavens, not closed heavens. God's a God of liberty and power. There are two camps. There are two inheritances. We have an inheritance, but we have to fight for it. Sometimes there's going to be a spirit of death in this place. What do? Just give over to it and become like the other camp? We can't. You don't belong to the other camp. We never will. I have an inheritance, and I will fight to possess that inheritance. And when they come to fight against Israel, we will stand with God and say, God, arise and let your enemies be scattered. God said, I've made your people peculiar and separated from all the people of the world. Of course He did. That didn't mean that you're supposed to be little holy people and that all the rest are just infidels. No. That's what the religion does. That's what the camp of Ishmael does. That's what Satan is the God of that church. Satan is the God of that church. God said it would be big, but He didn't say it would be His. But of Isaac, He said, this is mine. I produced this. This is my doing. This is my people. This is my people. You are His people. A God that loves, a God that's unity, a God that no matter how bad we have it, we stick together. We love on one another. We love on God. We don't think it a robbery to us to have a whole service of 4 hours just loving on God and forgetting ourselves. We don't have to call sick people up front in every service because all we're concerned with is just you. This is an open heaven. This is a place of revival. This is a place of life. This is a place not of death, it's of life. We come to live. In Galatians 4, chapter 23, I don't want anything to do with this religious system, Lord. I want the true worship, true liberty. Verse 23, chapter 4, but he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh. That's all church and religiousness is. It's all about the flesh. It's all in the natural. It's all produced by man. And he of the free woman through the promise. Which things are symbolic, not types, but symbols. For these are two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. What a fitting message for Mother's Day, which is the mother. You see, in those days, Paul had two camps within Israel. One was the old covenant, which was born in Sinai, like he said, and then the other one was of Isaac. And he was born of Isaac. He had the true gospel, the gospel of freedom, of liberty, of choice in God, of dancing, singing, rejoicing, being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. They didn't have rules and regulations driving people crazy. If they came in bondage over something, they set them free, continuously setting them free. They didn't come and beat them over the head because they'd had a bad week or because they'd sinned. They just invited the Holy Spirit to come and convict them of their sins so they won't want to do it anymore. Prayed for them, set them free. Then they covered them and they restored them back to God. They didn't tell them that they had to remain in that state of defeat and failure the rest of their life. In that church of the free, they weren't told that if they ever wrecked their train, it was a train wreck. That was it. End of road. That's the way it was going to be for the rest of eternity. Hey, the church is all about restoration. It's all about restoration, folks. That's the true gospel. The Spirit of Jesus taking the lost sheep. He didn't shoot it in the brains and say, you know what? You're one of these independent things that will never follow the flock. So let's just take care of it right now. You're not going to change. Those that follow after God will always change. He'll see to it that they will. God's camp is all about restoration. God's camp is all about freedom. God's camp is all about if you fall, we're going to help pick you up. We're not going to kick you because you're down. Like they did to the man tossed in the gutter. And all these pious people that couldn't be bothered with somebody who's all bloody and dumped in a ditch from somebody that beat up on him. They'd walk the other way. They'd cross the street and say, what's that? Who knows? He's probably demon-possessed. The true church, however, the Samaritan came by and saw that he was fallen and hurt beyond recovery of his own and picked him up, took him to a hospital, to an inn, to a place where he could be taken care of. He was put in care of those who care, and he was nursed back to life again. He wasn't read the riot act. You shouldn't go down that road. Didn't you know any better? Listen, a lot of demons ganged up on him, and 1 against 100 can't win. These people came in and they were merciless. You know what this man needs? He needs mercy. He needs encouragement. He needs oil poured in his wounds. He needs antibiotic to cure him of his disease. He needs his cranium fixed up and sewed up because he's got a big gash in it. He doesn't need to be told, all right, you made your bed in it, lay in it. Listen, true Christianity, God's Christianity, is all about restoring people. It's all about giving people life. As long as I live, I am going to fight for the inheritance that's true. I'm going to make sure that as many people as I have influence over their life, I'm going to help restore, and I'm going to help get them healed. I'm going to help get them past their sins and their failures, and I'm going to help restore them back to God, working with their faith, working with repentance, working with conviction, but working with God toward their best ends, and not just dump them because that's the way they are. And let me just say this to you. When Paul makes this statement, he was talking about Israel. And so although we have two major camps in the world, the religious, you know, we mentioned all those religions, the camp of the religions and then the camp of Christianity. I might also add that within the camp of Christianity, we have people that belong over in the other camp and for some reason call themselves Christians and are still over here. And you know why you have so many problems with people that condemn you and point fingers at you and judge you? Because they really don't belong to your inheritance. And God says, I'm going to have to divide them. So God makes things happen. And sometimes those things are tragic. And half the people will get up out of your church and leave. And now suddenly the pastor's crying because it's just hard to keep things going or whatnot. And God's just big smile on his face saying, you know what? They're not going to inherit with you. I want people here that will heal people. I want people here that are free. I want people here that love the spirit of life and hate the spirit of death enough to get up and fight against it when we have to. I want people that know how to war in the spirit. And when people come up here and have needs, we'll be praying back there. We'll be fighting the fight of faith. faith to restore these people that are down right now and have no business being down because they belong to the camp of Isaac. They're the trash that God's reforming. They're the ones that if left to their trashness or left to our trashness will do whatever. Paul said, if it weren't for the grace of God, there go I. We can't just look, you know. We realize we live and depend every moment of our day on God, on His Holy Spirit. He is the one that's going to keep us straight. And if you fall, get up again. Don't sit there saying, you know what, I'm just a disaster. I'm never going to change. Don't curse yourself with those words. God changes people. He's in the business. Your inheritance is an inheritance of change, bless the Lord. Your inheritance is an inheritance of freedom, of glory, of the presence of God, of moments of encounters with God. Your and my inheritance have to do with freedom and gladness. I am so glad I'm through with that religious garbage. Glad I'm done with all that legalistic stuff. I am so glad that I had to go through it so that others will never have to. Because if I get in there, I'm going to be like a bully and I'm going to beat up on the rest of them and say, get out of here. Love what Bill Norton was telling us the other day. Yesterday night at church, he was preaching and he was saying, you know, I went to this church and here's this Jezebelic woman that was standing in the face of the preacher after church and she was just giving them the riot act. He said, I looked over to the wife of the pastor and I said, you know, that doesn't look so good. She said, yeah, but I'm not going over there. He gets this every service. They just pick on him and pick on him. He said, well, I'm going over there. So he went over there. And when he went over there, this Jezebelic woman looks at him and said, what are you doing here? You have no business here. And he said, well, I'm sorry, but you're not in charge here. You're not in authority here. So he looks over to the pastor and said, pastor, can I stay here? He said, oh, yes, please do. So next thing that happened, this guy is a man and a woman. This guy puts a hand on him and he said, get your Ahab hands off of me in the name of Jesus. Then this woman, during the course of the conversation, and her nyekin, puts a hand on him. He said, take your Jezebelic hand off of me. Next thing I know, he says, you know what? You need to repent of everything you've done to this pastor. You need to repent from that spirit that you're in, that spirit of judgmentalism and criticism, Jezebelic spirit. You need to get it off of you right now. If I were you, I'd drop on my knees and repent. Because if you don't repent, you're going out of here. They said, who's going to make us? He said, well, you're going to find out. He said, I nabbed them both by the clothes on the neck, and I drug them both out, kicked the door open, shoved them outside, and said, don't ever come back unless you repent. That's what we need to do with these kind of people. Because we need to inherit the spirit of freedom. You know, we have a spirit of freedom in America. Does that mean we don't go to war? Does that mean they can come in here and do whatever they want to in our beautiful freedom and blow up our buildings and kill thousands of people and we're just going to sit back and cry about it and say, oh God, help us? We went up in arms, went out there and killed a lot of them. Listen, I'm not saying that's the way to do. I'm just telling you that as Christians, we need to fight for our inheritance, and sometimes that's what you need to do. And when you rise up in arms, maybe half the people are going to leave your church. Good riddance. Come back when you repent. Come back when you're willing to go for the same inheritance we live with. We want an inheritance of love, of unity, of joy, of peace. What an inheritance. You know, Isaac woke up for the first time after he was born. He didn't know that God had made him. He didn't know he was that fortunate to have an inheritance of the richest man in the world. I've often thought about, you know, somebody just waking up for the first time not realizing that they're born to the richest billionaire in the world. He was born to an inheritance and left an inheritance to all of us. Isn't that gorgeous? That is so wonderful. But let's go back here and it says, verse 24, these things are symbolic, which are two covenants, one Mount Sinai and it gives birth to bondage, and the other one's Hagar. And Hagar is a Mount Sinai in Arabia, which corresponds to Jerusalem, which is now, which is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem that is from above, which is the mother of us all, for it is written, rejoice, O bearing, you who did not bear. Break forth and shout, you who did not travail, for the desolate has more children than she that has a husband. I'd like to just say something today that you can shout about if you feel like it or not, but if you don't, it's because you didn't really hear. I didn't really say it the way I should have for you to understand it. Tell me right now, which camp is the greatest in number? The religious camp of Israel or God's camp? Be honest. The religious team. Did I read this thing wrong? You need to look at it and tell God, our inheritance is to claim the heathen. Psalms 2 that was preached to us the other day. He said, ask me and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance. God says here, break forth and shout, because more shall be the children of the desolate, one that couldn't have children. When God's through with this, we're going to be singing literally, the whole earth is full of His glory. The whole earth is full of His glory. Some people say billions of people falling over into hell. I see the Word of God that says that the children that inherit the true gospel, that inherit the true religion, that inherit the inheritance of open heavens and revival and reality and a God of truth, a God of mercy, a God of grace, a God who paid for sin, a God who's in the business of transforming people, a God that's in the business of restoring, a God that's in the business of healing, a God that's in the business of picking up and not casting down, a God that has true religion, the children of Isaac that come from the desolate are greater and more number than she who could have children as many as she wanted to as long as she had a husband. The husband are all these weirdos out there producing these religions. We could name them to you. Those are the husbands. But Abraham was a man of God, chosen by God, that walked with God, that pleased God. And most of all, Abraham was the father of faith. So his children are going to be children of... We have an inheritance of faith. What does the devil fight the most to defeat in your life? That's your inheritance. You know, I kept that one to now. I talked about joy, happiness, restoration, all the rest. That's good enough. You have no idea. Our inheritance is so large that it says that it will take us eternity to fill it up. That's how great it is. Bring it on, Lord. I want it. Our inheritance includes faith. Children of faith. Do you realize that with faith you can stop the sun? You can move mountains? With faith you can say to a crippled person, walk? With faith you can bring somebody out of a gutter and set their feet on solid rock? You can bring the hope of eternal salvation and life to someone who had no hope and had no life? You know that by faith we can get up out of a situation where everybody thinks you're done for the count? Like a boxer that goes down under a blow and they give him the count and think this guy's finished, and he gets up and gives the guy the walloping of his life and they give him the 10 counts and he wins the round. Faith wins the round. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. This is our inheritance. Greater is the inheritance. More people are going to be in that camp when it's all done. There's going to be a worldwide revival where people by the hundreds, by the millions, are already, places of the world of Asia, they're already by the millions coming out of that camp. So don't ever think that the people that are in that camp are there and that you are in this camp, honey. If I read this thing right, and that's what I think we should be shouting about, most of the people in that camp are going to end up in this one. You know why? Because it's by far the better of the two. If you're defeated, you need to get up in faith, because that's your inheritance. Possess it. Possess your inheritance. If your faith gets down, get up again. Start listening to some of these authors of faith. Maybe you shouldn't name as much and claim as much, but listen to their faith. They're certainly doing better than other people who complain about them. Break forth and shout, you who do not travail, for the desolate has many more. Many already means more than half. And more than half means at least two-thirds. And you know, the devil read this 2,000 years ago, and he said, let's see if that's going to come to pass. So where would you put the percentage now, about two-thirds in their camp and about a third in ours? And the Lord says, it's going to be just the other way around when I'm through with this thing. You're going to be surrounded by a multitude of people someday that no one can number. Rejoicing! Wow, what a God when they arrive. They're not nothing like the one we had. It's like the one we have this morning. Any good? Man, God is good. Whew. But as he was born in the flesh, according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. I've got a word for most of you here today that have been persecuted at one time or another, or have had people be real hard on you. That's not in our inheritance. That's just in our earthly journey. And he says that out of all the affliction of the righteous, he delivers them. All of them. So what does that mean? Yeah, you're going to have persecution. You can hardly avoid that while you're in this world. But that doesn't belong to our inheritance. We don't do the persecuting. That's not in our DNA. Jesus didn't leave that for us. Jesus left love and forgiveness. Our inheritance includes love and forgiveness for those that have hurt us and bothered us. Our inheritance doesn't include bitterness. It doesn't include resentment. It doesn't include unforgiveness. It doesn't include any of that stuff. I don't have any of that in my life. I'm just waiting until God defines the camp. I'm going to say something real serious for a minute. There are many in the Christian church that are acting like the other camp. And you're just hoping that someday they'll get it right. No, they belong to the other camp. That's why they're acting like the other camp. And when God brings division, He said in that day when the nets all come up, He said the angels are going to sort out. But they were all fish. They were all in the church. He's going to start sorting out the good and the bad. Those who act bad now are going to be in the bad pile later. I've got a different inheritance. I'm going to be in the good pile. I'm going to be in the good pile. I know that because I know who God goes looking for and I know what I am. But the bad pile doesn't seem to know who they are. They think they're so good. And you know what the truth is? They are. But God chooses trash. Does that say anything to you? Now, I am not teaching you to say, "Thank you, Lord, I'm trash." But if you say it, I'll understand what you mean. Because the goody-two-shoes are always pointing a finger. You know what? You act like trash. That ought to bring a smile on your face. But their actions are also revealing something about themselves they are not. And God says, you belong in another camp, and when this is all over, you're going to be in the minority. No pun intended. You're going to be in the minority, because my camp is the majority. That ought to give you an idea that there's not too many nice people in here. There's an awful lot of trash out there. Haven't you realized that? Haven't you listened to the news enough to realize, my God, is there anything good out there? Meet your future brothers and sisters. Meet your future redeemed by grace. Meet the ones who someday will jump and shout, living out their inheritance, and say, I made it, I made it, I made it. Praise the Lord. Now we've managed to put mother and inheritance, deliverance all in one service. I thought it would be confusing, but I'm rather enjoying it. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Verse 30. Now I told you first, now we're going to read it. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. They're in the Christian church today, but what's God's prediction? Verse 30. You read it, because I don't want it to be my prediction. What does it say here? Verse 30. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? It's referring to what we read in Genesis 21:10. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. So that church system, that religious system, is going to be done in when it's all done. But it also says cast out. That means that there's some people that belong over there that are in our camp. And those are the ones giving us problems. God says, put up with the problems. They're going to persecute you for a while, but the time comes. When the orders of God comes, cast them out. I've had a lot of people cast out of our camp in my lifetime. And out of God's Christian church, there's going to be a whole lot more of them cast out. God says, don't judge. He said, I'm the only one that knows the heart. If you meet people that are always looking down on other people and they think they're so good, brother, they better start begging God to make them worse. I remember my dad once telling somebody, you know what your problem is? You're too good. He said, what kind of preaching is that? That is, if you can ever be found in a trash pile, you've got hope. But while you're in the goody-two-shoes pointing fingers at everybody else, you're really out of place. Really, you're out of place. You're out of place in that you're in somebody else's camp. You might as well leave now because you're going to be there forever anyway. That's why I could never understand why people that had visions and went to heaven and came back and said there was actually people that called themselves Christians that were in hell. I said, God, how can that be? God says, I know those that are mine. I look around here. We've gotten rid of most of the real good ones. They say like breeds like, gender after its gender. But you know what I see when I get up in the morning? When I'm aware of the beauty of compassion that comes out of this piece of trash. And the love that flows out of it, it doesn't belong, it doesn't fit, The spirit of repentance that can bow before God and cry and weep over what this mess is and cry out for change and see the change. I'm starting to behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and I'm starting to see me and Jesus, and I don't know who's which now anymore. And before it's through, we're just going to look in the mirror and see Jesus. He said, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, you're transformed. Amen. Trash, meet Jesus. You're looking more like him every day. But Paul says, one day, this mirror is going to be taken away, and we're going to actually see his face, and when we see it, we shall be like unto him. He said, it's not evident yet what we shall be. Now we have to look as into a mirror. But you know, as bad as I know I am, I look into the mirror of God's word, and I'm beginning to see another nature in me, another person. A recycling is taking place. So don't go by what other people say. Go by what God says. Because this morning, out of Genesis 21, it says, and God said, this was God's word to you. Take hope and fight for your inheritance. We've got a wonderful inheritance. Let's go out and possess our inheritance, because it is a wonderful inheritance. Amen?